بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها، صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلكم راع وكلكم مسعون عن رعيته، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير بك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. Respected brothers, just a quick reminder that there are three impermissible times of prayer. One is sunrise, one is sunset, and in between is also the zenith, i.e. the zawal time. And the zawal time is approximately 10 to 15 minutes before the start of dhuhr. So during this time, any prayer is impermissible. Otherwise, myself, I do have the habit of, you know, if you enter the masjid, you offer two rakats tahiyatul masjid, as is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, in those three occasions, no prayer is permitted. So at the moment, we're still, according to the time shown on the screen, we're still approximately 3-4 minutes away from dhuhr, so we are in zawal time currently. So just a reminder for myself and everybody else, inshallah. There's, you know, so many things to talk about, whether locally, our own community, beyond the situation, you know, it's become quite repetitive. We're speaking about Gaza every other day. And, you know, subhanAllah, what's happening right now is very, very truly, can't understand it. From one place, from the northern side of Gaza, to be forced into such a corner, and then to be, you know, heavily bombarded with shelling and all this kind of stuff, you know, the mind cannot understand how individuals, how any human being can tolerate and go through such levels of difficulties and atrocities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease, and we have to always remind ourselves of this situation, right? Every individual, they are going through trials. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that once, you know, when we come to the near end of times, fitna will be spread, widespread, udan udan. It will be such magnitude of difficulties and trials and tribulations that it will be like a straw mat. You have the straw mat and it's weaved, right? The bits of straw, they're weaved very close knit together. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is using this as an example to show us that this is to what extent fitna, trials, tribulations are going to be dispatched on this ummah, especially in the latter stages when we are approaching the Day of Judgment. And Day of Judgment, subhanAllah, even Prophet Musa alayhi salam was also warned regarding Day of Judgment about it being very near. In fact, another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam depicts the closeness of Day of Judgment. The way you have a sheet, a cloth, and then you're cutting it, right? Sometimes a small thread, very delicate thread that remains, and then it's just about to tear the both sides into half. Similarly, this is the example Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the closeness of the Day of Judgment is so close, like that small delicate thread that is just separating the two cloths. This is how we are close to the Day of Judgment. And fitna are going to arise. And this is the challenge of the people of Palestine, our brothers, our sisters. And wallahi, they are, you know, they are successful because they are showing such level of determination in their faith. It's something that we cannot comprehend. We cannot understand this level of iman. Every single time they have a shaheed, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel is what's being uttered on their lips. Subhanallah, the other day a video was sent and there was a martyr. He was under the rubble for approximately 2 weeks. And the brother in the video, he was explaining that this smell that I'm finding from this martyr, this shaheed, is musk that cannot even be described. And he said, I've been waiting for so long to smell something like this, I can't even describe it to you in words. So this is their darajat as a result of their level of strength in their faith. But brothers and sisters, if there are any listening at home, this is their trial, this is their tribulation. But we are also put to test as well. We are put to test on a daily basis. And in fact, despite ours not being so physically consuming, despite that unfortunately, sometimes we are, you know, at a loss. Despite not going through such levels of physical difficulties in the test of faith, we are still, you know, facing a losing battle at times, unfortunately. But anyway, I don't want to take it to a negative route. Last week, we started off a topic, and inshallah, I'd like to continue with that. One of the trials and tribulations that we face is through our children, our family as well. And we should make dua to Allah, oh Allah, do not subject me to trial as a result of my family. Don't make my family a cause of my trial and test. SubhanAllah, so many parents, they feel embarrassed as regards to how their children have turned up. You have very decent parents in their household. Unfortunately, youngsters, when they go into their teenage years and beyond, they cause such level of embarrassment to their parents. We should also make dua, oh Allah, do not embarrass me, you know, through my children. Oh Allah, grant me righteous children. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Rabbana hablana min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. These are duas that we should recite often and often. What does it mean? It means, oh Allah, grant me from you pious offspring. And last week we said another dua, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. That, oh Allah, grant me, gift me children who will be the coolness of my eyes, and allow us to be the imams, the leaders of the muttaqin, the pious and the righteous. This should be our ambition, our goal. So just to re-emphasize a few points that we spoke about last week, the kind of main foundation of the topic was a very difficult situation where a family, they lost their young 14-year-old daughter to suicide. And then we carried on the conversation that sometimes our children, they're going through such difficulties that we are completely out of sync with. We're not, you know, living a life that is in perfect harmony, where we have built a environment, a, you know, a home that children can come and speak to you about anything. Especially in the Asian community, there are certain topics that a child will be or a teenager or whoever, they'll be very, very shameful, very scared to even bring up the topic to discuss, whether it be to do with difficulties they're finding with the opposite gender, whether it be difficulties they're finding with, you know, drugs, whether it's difficulties they're finding with any type of, you know, bad habits that they have stumbled across. These are young children, of course, they're inexperienced, and the young mind is a curious mind as well. They're going to go through these sort of phases, but at every moment, are we going to lash out at them where they feel that kind of thing? You know, I can't go to my dad, I need to speak to someone else. This is the kind of, you know, difficult environment that we create. In fact, one of our, you know, current day scholars of this time, he says that I want to create such a relationship with my children that they come to me regarding any problem that they're going through. Nothing is off limits. Nothing is off limits. They can speak to me openly in regards to any topic. And we have, you know, certain topics which are taboo. But this should not be a case of course, haya and respect and sharam, this sort of stuff exists. And we, you know, speak about certain things bearing this in mind. At the same time, it should not be, there's a balance that should be struck. That a person should not feel, a child should not feel that they cannot come to their parents. So that's the main kind of topic we were speaking about last week. And also the aspect of sometimes we bring about the same methods that were employed on us when we were younger, and we made a differentiation between the core principles that are to be instilled versus the methods and tools that we are using. The principles, they stay the same. As in Islam, throughout however long, has particular principles in place. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَمَنْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ السَّلَامِ. That he is not from amongst us, the one who does not have mercy towards his youngers, and the one who does not show honor and respect and reverence to his elders. This is a key maxim and principle, you know, in terms of laying down these boundaries, as you can say. That youngsters, from the elders' perspective, from a guardian's perspective, there should be so much level of mercy, affection. And from the youngsters' perspective, they should have this idea of respect, honor, honoring those above them. SubhanAllah, إِنَّ مِنْ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِكْرَامِ ذِي الشَّيْبِ الْمُسْلِمِ. That from amongst honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a sign of showing reverence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the respect an individual shows to the white hairs of an old man that has reached his old age whilst being in Iman. Why? Because this person, he has lived his life with A'mal al-Saliha, and he has reached a great age whilst maintaining his Iman and his Islam. This is something that deserves recognition. And through this, you are honoring Islam. Through honoring this individual, you are showing respect to Islam. And this is how you are showing honor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it means to show respect to our elders. Another quick point. A person who shows respect to his elders in his young age, whilst he's young, he shows respect to an elder person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint during his time people that will also assist him and show him respect when he becomes in his old age as well. And again, last one, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, who is the best kind of individuals? And he says, مَنْ طَالُ عُمَرُهُ وَحَسُنَ عَمَلُهُ. That an individual who is from amongst the best of individuals, from the best of Muslims, is a person who has been blessed with a long life, but at the same time he has been blessed with being able to act upon righteous deeds. Throughout his life, he's able to maintain his Islam to a very, very late stage, and inshallah he dies on this. So that's just a quick, you know, balance about respect that we must show elders as well. Now, going back to the topic at hand, we mentioned a few things. Just 5 points I would like to reiterate as key principles as our takeaway. Number one is that children are born pure. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it says that every individual, every child, he is born upon fitrah. مَا مِن مَوْلُودِ إِلَّا يُولَدْ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ. That every single child is born upon a fitrah, a natural disposition. And then afterwards he is born into a family of Christians or Jews or whichever religions, and they bring him up as such, and this is what caused him to kind of be polluted with particular ways. Meaning the foundation of every child, be it Muslim, non-Muslim, they start off as pure. And it is down to the experience they go through which takes them through different orientations and inclinations. So having this understood, as Muslims, we have a blank canvas with our children. And it's what we put in them that is what ultimately shapes who they will become in the future. So that's number one. Understanding this, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, كُلُّكُمْ رَائِنْ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسُولًا رَعِيَّتِهِ. That every single one of you is a shepherd and they will be asked regarding his flock. I.e. parents have a responsibility to lead and guide their children. The reason why this is a topic that I feel very connected to is because, alhamdulillah, I have the blessing of teaching children Madrasa Islamic Studies. Brothers, if I can just kindly request that you fill up the remaining spaces so that anyone that comes late, they can just go around the back. So if you see any spaces, there's one space over here, inshallah. Just fill in the empty gaps. Jazakumullah. So when I see young children, they are of very diverse backgrounds. And as a teacher, you can tell that which child has come from a, you know, a righteous upbringing. A person whose parents, they are on top of their timetable, their scheduling, their bedtime, the food that they eat, and you know, the bad habits that they have with the devices, the screens. And this has an impact on their madrasa performance as well. The ability to stay concentrated on reading Quran. This is something that requires a lot of attention. And some students, they're not as good as others. And you can tell this, you can see this. So just the other day recently, I thought this is going to be the case. So I asked them, who amongst you has a device at home that they have for themselves? A few put their hands up and a few just didn't. And then I said to them, what kind of things do they watch? So they will say they watch their Netflix and etc. etc. And then I said, who watches YouTube Shorts? YouTube Shorts is one of the most damaging things. And there was one particular individual, I had my suspicions, because he himself, out of the whole class, he's not able to focus at all. Everybody's, you know, their head down and they're reading, they're, you know, practicing, they're making the sabbath good. But this one young boy, unfortunately, he reads for a little bit and then he gets distracted. And it just so happened that he is the only one in this class that watches YouTube Shorts. And what does it do? These kind of things, these are barriers. These are barriers, unfortunately, that parents, they're not allowing the child that chance. Give your child a chance in order to access success. Give your child a platform so that now, whenever they go to school, whenever they go to the masjid or madrasa, the teachers can, you know, just give what they have to offer. But a lot of times, there's so many more barriers that before they can access whatever benefits they can attain from school, the education, they have to cut through all of this, you know, cognitive drawbacks. And this is, as a result, not purely, sometimes it could be some sort of illness that a person may have, whether it be ADHD that might be valid or perhaps unvalid or invalid, let's say. But sometimes our habits, our routines, our scheduling, it becomes a huge impediment. The way we raise our children, sometimes, you know, we have such lofty aspirations. You want your child to become a doctor, you want your child to become a lawyer, and you have all this pressure you apply on them. But then at the same time, when they were younger, when you weren't able to kind of, you know, give them some sort of meaningful time, then what do? We just give them the gadgets. And this is a pandemic, this is an epidemic. Every single child, you go to a restaurant, you know, a family are sitting down and the child is eating, but at the same time, the mom has given their phone and they're watching all this, you know, YouTube videos and all this sort of stuff. Whether it's Islamic as well, whether it's Islamic cartoons, it doesn't make it any better. In moderation, this is something that can obviously be allowed. But when every single time you want to feed a child, you have to put a screen in front of them, then there's something very wrong over here. And what you're doing is you're hampering their cognitive skills as well. So that's the third point, that children, they need barriers. We need to implement barriers. Last week, we spoke a lot about mercy and having a two-way open communication, but this does not mean that it's just a free-for-all. There has to be boundaries in place that parents, they structure, right? And there's, you know, so many things. You talk about diet. You speak about sugar and the effects of sugar. Through just the limited kind of research that I done earlier today, sugar is shown that excessive amount causes brain fog. Brain fog meaning it's difficult to memorize certain concepts. It's difficult to learn things properly. Now, if we're, you know, giving juices and all this other, even juices, sometimes we think juices are quite healthy, but the amount of sugar that's inside them, forget juices, there's people that have bottles and they put Coke inside it. Right, they have Coke in their kids' milk bottle. This is how, unfortunately, some people, they bring up their children. All of these things, wallahi, we have to, you know, take proper interest in this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat wa'malu saliha. That all messengers, eat tayyib, eat good, wholesome, pure food, and then do righteous actions. Why is this so significant? Because who are the people that are being addressed? The Anbiya alayhi salam, they are the ones being addressed. And what are they being addressed by? They are being told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to only just eat halal. And this is another topic that needs addressing as well as on a communal level. As to sometimes we are bringing inside our system haram food, unfortunately, and we're not even aware of it. We're not even aware or conscious of whether our food, our chicken or meat has been, you know, slaughtered in the correct methods or not. And this does have spiritual effects. But Allah is not saying just merely suffice on halal. Allah is saying, "Kulu min at-tayyibat," eat pure, wholesome food. And then what does he say? "Wa'amalu saliha." What does that show? There's a connection. By us eating and managing what we eat properly, wholesome food, this has an effect on our physical activity. To the extent it allows a person to have this level of energy, the lethargy, it goes away. And he has this inclination to do positive, good, righteous actions. So food is very, very important from an Islamic perspective as well. And sometimes we don't talk about it in the masajid or in any other Islamic circles, and we shy away from certain topics, right? But this is something that needs to be addressed. Because as a teacher, when we see students of, you know, different abilities, they're so close. They're so close to attaining success, but these barriers that have just been put up, it's not from their own faults. It's because, unfortunately, parenting, you know, through devices, poor sleep patterns. You have some children at the, you know, tender age of 10, 11 years old, they're going to sleep at midnight, they're going to sleep at 11 p.m. This is terrible, right? So how are they going to have a, you know, that level of energy for their school? And then they do 6 hours of school, and then you expect it to come to madrasa and then to perform well over there? We have to be realistic. We have to be very, very realistic. So sleep is also a thing. And then we spoke about the cognitive skill. So attention span, this is related to cognitive skill. In the sense that it's something that can be trained. The brain is also like a muscle. And in that way, it's something that needs to go through certain exercises. So just as a quick tip, and I spoke about my students with this as well, that what are the things that you do as a pastime? What are the things that you do for fun? And obviously everyone mentioned video games, watching videos. SubhanAllah, you know, you ask a child what they're doing, and they say, I'm watching. So I'm watching was never a verb in my, when I was growing up. When you say what you're doing, you never hear someone saying, I'm watching. But now everyone says, or a lot of people, they say, they're watching, right? They're becoming zombies. They're becoming zombies in that sense. So how can we replace these, you know, bad pastime ideas? So I said, go to your parents and ask them, is there any kind of toys that I can, you know, purchase or you can buy for me that is like, you know, puzzle or what's it called, brain exercises. You have all these different types of toys and gadgets that are coming up now. And alhamdulillah, you know, technology and, you know, things have advanced quite a lot. There are so much more options now that we can keep our children stimulated with, that we don't necessarily need to just give them the gadgets, the devices and the screens. We have to move away from this completely. Completely, we have to, you know, really, really make a shift away from this. So anyway, mentioning the cognitive skill aspect, a lot of times people, they do suffer from short attention span. But the good news is, from, again, the very limited research, I'm not going to say that I'm an expert by any means, but from what I've found is that through brain exercises, a person is able to now strengthen the ability to focus on tasks that require a, you know, sustained amount of focus. And if a person or a child, they do have difficulty with focusing, then the trick is that you break up those tasks into smaller individual tasks. Because if it's smaller, it's more able, you're able to digest it and you're able to apply your focus in short, you know, bursts of time. And then like this, a person is able to accomplish quite a lot. So again, these are a few things that, you know, are, you know, on my mind, especially in regards to children and the upbringing. As I mentioned, we have to be, you know, working as a whole. The three, you know, parties involved, the child, the student, the school, the madrasa, and the parents as well. Right, all three have to work in harmony in order for the child to have, you know, fruitful effects. And the reason why this is very, very crucial is because children are our future. And they are the ones, as I mentioned, they are the blank canvas. And it's such a shame that being so close yet so far, just for a small kind of barriers that are in place, it would be such a shame if we're not able to unlock these potentials completely. We're so close. You know, technology is so advanced. There's so much access to resources that are there, but it's unfortunately our lifestyle habits, our eating patterns, our sleeping patterns, the things that we consume, food and through, you know, material that we consume, these are hampering us from really truly being an individual that can make our society a greater society. And, you know, I want our community, this masjid, Chadwell Heath area over here, to be the most thriving community. And we have to speak about this openly, and we need to be here and be present in the masjid, meet other people, talk to one another. Sometimes, subhanAllah, the past week, there was a few individuals that I spoke to. And given, you know, the fact that we are living post-COVID and the introduction of working from home, this has taken a toll on a lot of individuals, whereby they don't feel that same level of social engagement that is quite necessary as part of our development, as part of our kind of sustenance in that sense. And it's had a very detrimental effect, where people are kind of losing a lot of motivation. And when that happens, they keep themselves isolated. And when they're isolated, they're just constantly in their thoughts. But we need to be part of the collective. We need to be part of this community, be part of the masjid. We need to frequently come. We need to speak to different brothers, make friendships, make, you know, connections. And inshallah, through that, you yourself will be benefiting. And inshallah, you can also positively contribute to your own community as well. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhan bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, hayya ala falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Brother, inshallah, there will be a collection for the masjid now. And just a couple of update regarding the program going on this Sunday for the health seminar. So any brothers, especially the youngster, if you can bring your children as well, and you know, the parents is here. Alhamdulillah, the Sheikh just saying about how to engage our youngster. So the only way we can think as a community and the community members and everyone, if you can bring your children here on the weekend and let them make a meeting point and see something we can invent for the children as well. It's just not that the masjid have to apply something, rather than you can come up say, look, we got 10 children want to come at after Zuhur. They want to do some program. We got, alhamdulillah, beautiful hall at the back. So why don't you engage some children here, especially the young one? Alhamdulillah, the brothers are after over 18, they are doing so many activities. But if you can follow that app that we have, if you can download the app and see what the programs are going on. But we need to do more. This is not enough. So inshallah, this Sunday, we're doing a Hajj seminar. And I think we should bring everyone in, you know, all the youngsters and the parents. And a lot of people ask when to the Hajj. But also Umrah, we are going every year, or some of them every other year. But please, there's a lot of things missing. So we need to know exactly what these procedures are. So this program is going to be start from this Sunday after Zuhur, after Asr, inshallah. So from until to about an hour and a half. And then the following week, inshallah, there will be Sheikh Abu Aliyah. He will be here and have a talk there as well. So and there will be more program coming up. So inshallah, come up with the ideas. And I'm trying to think of something to do for the very young one, especially age of like 6, 7 till about 12. So we need to do something. I'm sure there's a lot of parents are here. And if you want to talk about you know, what program can we do, inshallah, we can deal with that as well. And especially one for the girls as well. Alhamdulillah, yesterday, there are a lot of sisters was here. They were teaching the local sisters, and they're all from Chadwell Heath, Goodmays, Dagenham, you know, Seven Kings. They all was here yesterday and showing how to, when our loved one passed away, how they washed the body and everything. So alhamdulillah, there was over 90 women was here yesterday. And they raised some money as well for the masjid. So alhamdulillah, they raised £571. It's just a donation. It's not, you know, they just charge £5. But this is all goes to the masjid, you know. The alhamdulillah. So it's not all, the masjid is benefited at the same time that our community is benefited as well. So please don't treat, you know, just for the masjid, we come for the Zuhur and Asr and Maghrib and that's it. Please do something more. That's what the Sheikh just said. We need to be, you know, build up a Chadwell Heath masjid to be something for every single person, every single community around here. So please, brother, try to be engaged and do some activities. I'm sure there's a lot of brothers here have a lot of experience. They want to share. Please come and talk to us, and let's see what we can do, and we can fit the time and table. The summer holiday is coming. We need to do something, and we need to get youngsters to come in and join us and do some programs here as well. Talk to our sheikh, the imams, and everyone here, and let's see if we can fit something for the next generation. And this is very, very important. We all know what's going to our next generation, what they are doing in this area and the other area as well. We don't want to be the follow of the same what happened in past. So we want to do something for the new rather than going to the drugs and all other things. So please, brothers, try to work. You know, if we announce something, if there's no people, so there's no benefit. So if I say, okay, tomorrow or the Sunday is the whole seminar, and there's only, 20, 30 of us here, this is not enough. So this is not going to cost you anything, but this is rather we learn something. So please, brother, bring your children. Especially, I said, please bring your children. Don't say, oh, they're screaming and shouting. This is normal. We all did that when we were young. And I'm sure our oldest parents, uncles are here. They will take that. They won't take that personally. So we need to engage them. You know, sometimes we find, I remember young when it was, masjid, we have to be very careful. We have to be very, you know, on everything on the right order. But no, masjid should be for everyone, should be a meeting point, discuss something or meeting something. We have a lovely garden here. I've done up everything. So you can have spend some time here as well. We've got other garden on the other side. So if some of the girls are here, they can have the other garden. No problem. So this is the masjid money. It's not the masjid money. It's the community people has donated, and that's what's the work being done. So utilize this place, please, brothers. I know we all have a lovely garden, I'm sure. But at the same time, it's doing something in the different area, in the masjid, is different. So please, brother, I would like to urge all my brothers, and I'm sure some of the sisters can hear from the home as well, bring the children and do your own activities and just tell us when you want to use this place, and then inshallah, I'll let you in to do that. Please, brother, this is my appeal to every single brother and sister that they're listening from home. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, hayya alal falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa Allah,
الحمد لله الذي أحسن تدبير الكائنات فخلق الأرض والسماوات وأنزل الماء الفرات من المعصرات فأخرج به الحب والنبات وقدر الأرزاق والأقوات ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله المؤيد بالمعجزات الباهرات صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى كلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الزهادة في الدنيا ليست بتحريم الحلال ولا إضاعة المال ولكن الزهادة في الدنيا ألا تكون بما في يديك أوثق مما في يدي الله وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الروح الأمين نفث في روعي أنه ليس من نفس تموت حتى تستوفي رزقها فاتقوا الله وأجملوا في الطلب ولا يحملنكم استبطاء الرزق أن تطلبوه بمعاصي الله فإنه لا يدرك ما عند الله إلا بطاعته وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رجلا أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله إني إذا أصبت اللحم انتشرت للنساء وأخذتني شهوتي فحرمت علي اللحم فأنزل الله يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تحرموا طيبات ما أحل الله لكم ولا تعتدوا وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الطاعم الشاكر بمنزلة الصائم الصابر أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تقولوا لما تصف ألسنتكم الكذب هذا حلال وهذا حرام لتفتروا على الله الكذب إن الذين يفترون على الله الكذب لا يفلحون الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم أيد الإسلام وأنصاره وأذل الشرك وأشراره اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا منهم اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم انصر إخواننا في جميع بلاد المسلمين اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى اللهم أعد مسجد الأقصى في رحاب المسلمين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العلي العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأتم وأهم وأعظم أكبر أقيموا الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا وقيموا صفوفكم وتراصوا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت
وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب
يا مصرف القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في فلسطين اللهم انصرهم اللهم أطعم جائعهم واكس عاريهم واشف صدورهم يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.